Good Chodesh, everyone. It should be a happy, healthy, inspiring month for all of us, for all the Jewish people. Tonight's class has been sponsored by Mr. Peter Krause, Big Yasher Koyach, and this is his honor of his mother's yahrzeit coming up this Friday on Gimel Elul. Her name is Chaya Etel Bas Nichabela. May the neshama have a very, very great aliyah. Peter, you know her father's name too? Chaya Etel Bas Yisrael Zev. On the yard site, we say the father's name. May her neshama have a very great aliyah to the greatest of heights and send down a lot of blessings to you. Tons of blessings. And to all of us. Second sponsor tonight has been Rabbi Eli Newman, and this is in honor of a grandmother, Rivka Gittel Bas Reb Eliyahu, and her yard site was already a week and a half ago, Chav Gimel Menachem Av. May her neshama have a great aliyah, and send a lot of blessings down to his family. The CD this week has been sponsored by Mr. Henry Abasera, and this is in honor of his brother, whose yard site is this week, was today on Chodesh Elul, Shimon Rafael Ben Reb Mas'od. May his neshama have a very great aliyah and also bring a lot of blessings to him and to all of the Abasera family and all of us. The second CD this week has been sponsored by Anonymous, and this is for a bracha for health, for his mishpacha. May Hashem give a lot of bracha and health for his family. And if anybody needs a refuah, they should have a complete refuah, take of a miyad, an instant refuah, a refuah shalem in the manner that Hashem can give, in a manner of Ani Hashem Refecha, I am your healer. And when God brings the refuah, it's as if he uproots the illness as if it never existed, and he makes the person healthier than he was even before. So may all that materialize, begashmias, very quickly. I just want to announce before we begin the shiur that we are very, very happy to announce, as we entered into the month of Elul, Maan Yisrael is presenting to the Jewish community in Los Angeles and those farther than Los Angeles a great, great, invigorating, inspiring, enriching program of a series of events, whether some of them are classes and lectures, and music events for children, for adults, for teenagers, for men, for women of all ages. A very, very, very great program. And the schedule of events are available over here in shul. They're going to be available in all shuls in all over the Los Angeles area, in all markets. And if you want to distribute them to people, you can take some with you and tell everybody about great things that are taking place. I also want to mention that sponsorships for these events are still available and highly, highly appreciated. Some of these events are quite costly, and have not yet been paid for, and would be very, very much appreciated for those of you who want to have a great mitzvah in the month of Elul before Rosh Hashanah, and a great tzchus of helping inspire and uplift the community. So please call us for that. From the near upcoming events, besides the regular classes that we have over here, which are all geared to the month of Elul, from Tuesday to Thursday, and Shabbos afternoon classes, and Sunday we started a new section of the Tanya, Geras HaTshuva, and Rabbi Tauber's class on Sunday is also geared towards the month of Elul and Rosh Hashanah. But we have three guest lectures coming up. This coming Sunday, we have the honor of having Rabbi Baruch Graydon at 8 o'clock. This coming Sunday here at Maan Yisrael, the roadmap to Rosh Hashanah. And the next Sunday, we have Rabbi Nechemya Langer, who's going to be speaking about tshuva. And then afterwards, we have, Rabbi Langer, the Rav in Shari Torah. And then we have next week Sunday, and then the following Sunday, in 3 weeks, that's on Monday, we have David Sachs, so please note that. These are all great classes, and I hope everybody can participate. We entered into the month of Elul. And the month of Elul is the very auspicious time of the year, the last month of the year. We prepare for the high holidays. We prepare for Rosh Hashanah. And tshuva is in the air. There's a heightened awareness. It's a feeling that something is happening. Tomorrow morning, we begin the blowing of the shofar. There is excitement. Now, being that this is such a serious time, we have certain customs that we start during the month of El. Different communities have different customs. The Sephardic community begins to say slichas, supplications, early morning, extra prayers. Ashkenazim begin a little later, closer to Rosh Hashanah. We begin the shofar blowing in shul every morning for the entire month of El. And that is meant to serve as an alarm, as an awakening. And then we have one of the customs that we do is we recite an extra psalm in Tehillim every day, twice a day. And that is Psalm 27, Perek Chav Zayin in Tehillim, which begins with the word L'David Hashem Ori V'Yishi. For King David, the song to David, Hashem Ori, Hashem is my light, V'Yishi my salvation. Mimi ira, who am I to fear? Hashem mo is chayai, Hashem is the strength of my life. Mimi efchad, who will I dread? And the reason we say this during this time, it's always good to increase in say some extra tehillim. So an extra psalm can't hurt us. It's only beneficial. But out of all psalms, why is this the one chosen? Why do we say Dafka, this one, twice? See, some people say it after the morning prayer. Everybody says it in the morning for Shacharis. And then in the afternoon, some say it by Mincha. In the afternoon, some say it after the evening prayers, after Ma'ariv. But it's recited generally by in all communities twice a day. But why this one? Out of all psalms, why this perek? So this is connected to a medrash. When the Medrash tells us that the opening verse, which it says, L'David Hashem Oiri, Hashem is my light, V'Yishi, Hashem is my salvation. So Oiri is referring to Rosh Hashanah. God is my light, because that's when God brings our judgment to light. V'Saitzi Ka'or Mishpatenu, like we say in the Machzor on Rosh Hashanah. Bring to light our judgment. Because there can be all kinds of accusations, there can be all kinds of complaints against us. And sometimes the good is hidden, is concealed. And it takes God's eyes to be able to see that hidden goodness. That is the real intentions, our true desires and our true wants. So we need Hashem to shine the light, to expose the innate good, because in essence we're all good. And it has to be revealed. So Hashem Oiri, Hashem is our light. He shines that light and he reveals the good. That's on Rosh Hashanah. The Yishi, God is my salvation, referring to Yom Kippur, when we are all redeemed from our sins. We all start, and sin is connected to the source of all negativity and death. So God saves us from that. So that's why he's called the Yishi on Yom Kippur. Further in the perek, in the chapter, it says, Ki yitzpeneinu b'sukkoi. When Hashem will hide us, he will protect us in his sukkah. So referring to the holiday of Sukkot, which follows after that. So that's why we continue saying it until the end, the conclusion of Sukkot, until the last days of Sukkot, till the Hashanah Rabbah, which is the last of the intermediate days of Sukkot. Because it's referring to specifically to this time. So being that this is one of the customs that we do, it's only fitting that we should examine the verse, the meaning of the verse, and the message and what it imparts. There's another connection of this perek to this time, is that it mentions to our 13 times that God's name, the unpronounceable name of Hashem, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, the Tetragrammaton, is mentioned 13 times in this mizmar, corresponding to the 13 attributes of mercy. And as the Arizal tells us, that during this month, the 13 attributes of mercy flow freely. And they're accessible like no other time in the year. And that's why we're able to draw close and we're able to gain forgiveness and acceptance much, much easier than we would ever be able, we'd be able to do any other time of the year. Because of the Hashem is in a very merciful state. There is a revelation of those high 13 attributes of mercy. So this parak corresponds to the 13 attributes of mercy and the 13 times that it mentions Hashem's name. So it was stated in the Panim Yafos from the great Hasidic master, Reb Pinchas Horowitz, the great disciple of the Holy Maggid. So when we examine, let's look into the verse and see if there is a message, an inspiring message. That what is it telling us? And a deeper understanding of why we recite this perek at this time. So we open up the first pasuk. L'David, Hashem oiri v'yishi. God, you are my light, you are my salvation. Mimi ira, who should I fear? I'm not afraid of anybody, because you're my light, you are my salvation. Hashem mo'iz chayai, you're the strength of my life. Mimi efchad, who will I dread? So, in short, the main point, the main thing that he's saying is that because you're with me, God, I have nothing to fear. Without you, I would have something to fear, and I would have something to dread. But since you're with me, I don't have to be afraid. Similar to the verse, Gam ki elech begeitz almaves, even when I go in the shadows of death, la yirera, I don't fear evil, I don't fear any bad, ki ata yimadi, because you are with me. So that's the idea. Hashem, you're with me, I'm not afraid. However, if we look more carefully at the verse, we notice that he is repetitive. Hashem oiri v'yishi mimi ira. You're my light, my salvation. Who should I fear? You're the strength of my life. Why should I dread? Now, dread, so he mentions dread and fear. Now, the fear and the dread, generally it's the same thing. Fear and dread is the same idea. It's only the dread is stronger. When a person says, I'm afraid to go somewhere, okay. I'm dreading to go somewhere, it's much stronger. It's far more serious. So dread is a stronger word. So we need to understand what is he speaking about over here? What is it that a person that we ought to fear, and what is it that we ought to dread? And we shouldn't, because we know that God is with us. But there would be something that we would fear, and there would be something that we would dread. So what is the fear and what is the dread? And then we need to understand why the reason why we don't have to fear and we don't have to dread is because he mentions three things. Ori v'yishi, you're my light and my salvation. And that's why I don't have to fear. And you are the strength of my life. And that's why that eliminates the dread. So why is it that in order to deal with the fear, the response to the fear is the Ori v'yishi, you're my light and my salvation. And why is that in regards to the dread, the greater fear, for that, Oiri v'yishi, my light and my salvation, isn't sufficient. For that we have to understand and appreciate that God is the strength of my life. What does that mean? And what really is the difference between these three things? He's my light, he's my salvation, and he's the strength of my life. And the Mefarshim, the commentators in the Tehillim say different things. For instance, we'll just mention two. The Radak, Reb David Kimchi, the great commentator on the Navi, says that Oiri, my light, is, and Yishi, same idea, basically the same thing. He says troubles, problems are called darkness. And when God, Hashem being my light, meaning he saves me from my troubles. When God's salvation comes, so we're no more in the dark, we're in the light. So that's why Oiri v'Yishi is both the idea that God saves us from my problems. And he says the same as Mo'iz Chaya, when God is with me, the strength of my life. He's strengthening my life, I have nothing to fear. But according to him, there isn't an explanation on the difference of them. He's saying that they're the same, they're similar. My light, my salvation, the strength of my life. The Evan Ezra, Rabbi Avram Evan Ezra, writes, he says that Oiri, my light, is referring to matters of the soul. Yishi, my salvation, is referring to the material, matters of the body. Mo'iz Chayai, the strength of my life, is referring to the connection of soul and body. The strength of my life that keeps it all together. Okay, so we have already some more understanding on the differences, but he doesn't explain why the Oiri V'ishi is referring to why we don't have to fear, and the Mo'iz Chayai, the strength of my life, is the answer to the dread. When it comes this time of the year, it's coming closer to Rosh Hashanah, and we know that it's just about a month away that we're going to be standing in the Rosh Hashanah, the high holidays, and each and every one of us is going to be summoned to trial. We're going to stand summoned to court. We stand before the heavenly tribunal, and we stand before God, whom before Him nothing is concealed and nothing is hidden. And Hashem is going to decide our fate. Everything that we might sometimes take for granted is up in the air. God is deciding life. He's deciding our health. He's deciding our livelihood. He's deciding whether we're going to live in peace and tranquility. All these elements are being decided. And what is God basing His judgment on? He's judging us based on our previous behavior, on how we perform, and on our tshuva and our repentance that we have during Rosh Hashanah, and our sincere resolve to better ourselves. So when we think about that, that's quite intimidating. If we think about it for a few moments, it's something that can send chills down our spine to know that the great day is coming, and it's a very big day and a frightening day. And so that's what the sound of the shofar does. We begin blowing the shofar. It's supposed to awaken us, calling to each and every one of us, telling us, wake up, sober up. As the Rambam says, Uru Yishena Mishinaschem, wake up those that are sleeping, wake up from your sleep. Start realizing that there's more to life than your material possessions and your physical pleasures. God sent you into this world for a higher purpose. Your soul has a mission. How am I doing with that mission? Am I fulfilling God's interest in this that He created me? So that's the awakening. The sound of the shofar, Be'ezus Hashem, that we'll hear tomorrow, gives us all a shake. And some people awaken the first day of Elul. Some people, it takes a couple of days for it to penetrate, 10 days, 15 days, 18th. As we get awakening, as we get ready, the week of Rosh Hashanah, Erev Rosh Hashanah. But there's a certain point where everybody is thinking, Oy vey, Rosh Hashanah is coming. The great day is here. And we need to better ourselves. So the sound of the shofar is the call to tshuva. So as we approach this great time, there are two very big obstacles that gets in the way of stopping a person from doing tshuva, which really boils down to one obstacle. The obstacle that gets in the way, that is the barrier between us and tshuva, is the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination. It will create a barrier and will try to do whatever it can to stop a person from doing tshuva. The reason why the Yetzer Hara is going to try to stop us from doing tshuva is because that's his job. His job is to try to make a person stray away from God and stray from Hashem, and so that's what he's all about. So that's the first element to it. But it's more than that, because he's really dreading the evil inclination, which is really an agent of the satanic forces in the universe, from the negative forces, the forces of darkness that God created, are very, very, very fearful. They dread the possibility of tshuva, because tshuva is actually steals, takes away, or returns, or brings back the life. It takes the life away from them. It cuts off their power supply, because the way God created the world is that the forces of negativity receive their energy, they receive their vitality through sins. When they get a person to do an avera, a sin, that increases a flow of godliness, and that is because the Jewish people are the channels of life to the world. Every neshama, every soul is a conduit through which godly energy flows to the universe. And when a person does a sin, which means he is turning towards a negative element within the creation, he channels that energy down into the negative forces. So this is giving, so to speak, the unholy their parnasa, their livelihood. That's why when the power of tshuva is that we're able to retract that energy, we're able to pull it back, thereby cutting off the power supply or freezing their assets, that they can't take that energy anymore because we return it back into to its holiness. So that is why the Yetzer Hara tries to do whatever he can to get in the way and stop a person from doing tshuva. Now the main argument that, now the Yetzer Hara is very shrewd, and therefore when he argues and he comes up with reasons to try to prevent us from doing tshuva, again, it's not sounding like the Yetzer Hara. It doesn't sound like someone else. It sounds, these are thoughts that come up in our own mind, and it sounds like these are our own inhibitions. These are our own hesitations. And so there's primarily three arguments that can prevent a person from doing tshuva. The first argument is, okay, tshuva, I got to better my way. I have to start doing what God wants. It's time to become a mensch. It's time to take life seriously, to take my mission that God has given me seriously. But the question is, and this is the thought that can occur to a person, how do I know what really is my mission? How do I really know what I'm supposed to be doing? I need to correct myself. There are so many things that need correction. I have no clue where to start. Do I have to invest more? Do I have to give more charity? Do I have to study more Torah? Do I have to put my efforts into concentrating in prayer? Should I get more involved in social things, in helping people? Should I work on being a better spouse, a better husband, a better wife? Should I be a better parent to my children? Of course, all the above. But what is the primary mission? What is the main thing I need to be doing? Sometimes the inspiration that people have to do good things gets squandered into things that is not their business to do. A lot of good things in the world, but everybody's got their mission. There are certain priorities, certain obligations that your first obligation. And there are many things that are good, but that's not what you're meant to be doing. And a person could be doing a lot of good in the world, but if it's not what they're meant to be doing, then it's not fulfilling the purpose that Hashem sent me down into this world. So that's the question. How do I know? I don't even have that. How do I know what I am doing, if what I'm doing is the right thing? And worse than that, sometimes the Yetzer Hara causes such a blurriness, such confusion to a human being, that even things that are not a mitzvah, even things that are definitely not a mitzvah, but even worse than a mitzvah, or rather, even worse than not a mitzvah, rather sinful, that too can be presented to a person as a mitzvah. So that's part of the mechanism, or that's part of the shtick of the Yetzer Hara, is that he's able to confuse us and make us think that negative things are also positive, that things that are wrong are really good things that we should be pursuing and we should be doing. I just had an interesting thing today. I got a call in the morning. Someone was calling me because he was taking on a job as an educator, as a teacher in a school. So he called me for advice. I was a teacher for many years, an elementary school teacher. So he called me, said, "You taught fourth grade boys. I'm getting a fourth grade, and I heard that you did quite well, so I want to talk to you about how you ran your class." So I spent some time on the phone telling him all kinds of things that I did with my class. And then he asked me, "So how about the first day of school? I hear you have to be very, very tough. Be very tough the first day of school." I said, "Indeed, you should be kind of tough because you have to discipline the kids and that no one should step on you." He says, "And what do you do if a kid acts up?" He said, "You have to show him who's the boss immediately." He says, "And so what do you do?" He says, "Do you kick the kid out of class?" So I said, "No, you don't kick a kid out of the class. The first day, I was shocked. First day you kick a kid out of class. You don't kick a kid out of class the first day. Kicking someone out of class is the last resort. You don't never kick a kid out the first day." He said, "But I was attending classes in the community that I am, and this is a professional teacher, and he's teaching everybody that the first day you must kick someone out of class. Someone must go. Even if everybody's good, you have to find someone to kick out of class. That's how you establish who's the boss." So when he realized how shocked I was, I said, "And you think that's okay?" He said, "No, the guy said it's probably wrong, but it works. But it works." So these are mitzvahs. A lot of times we have various mitzvahs that are not mitzvahs. But, we can convince ourselves that a kid coming to school for the first day and he has his whole year in front of him should end up on the outside already on the first day, out of class. That could be possibly. What kind of possible good can that do to a child? But that's good because, after all, you're the teacher and you need to lay down the rules. So These are many, many, that's just an example, but we have many, 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 many things that we think they're mitzvahs, we think they're good, and they're really wrong. And so that's an obstacle. It's a great obstacle, because we know that we don't always have, we don't have clarity. We many times do things that we think are good and they're not good. But that's one argument. But then the Yetzer Hara is the next complaint. And he says, okay, next argument. And he says, even if you're going to have clarity, even if you know you're going to ask and get guidance and do what's right, but there still is, you're going to become better. You're going to better your ways. You're going to improve. Who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? Don't you know about your promises that you've made in the past? The promises you've made again and again. I know we say to ourselves, last year Rosh Hashanah, the year before Rosh Hashanah, the month of Elul, Yom Kippur, how many times have I stood before God and made promises, sincere promises, and even been saying this with such sincerity and with tears and sometimes even deep sobbing of the soul, and I promise that I will never ever go back to these negative ways. But take a look at yourself. Where are you today? See how you're in a deeper mess than you've ever been. And many, 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 many of our things have become deep, entrenched habits. Sometimes they've become addictions, and things that we seem to not be able to break out of. And as much as we try again and again, we keep on falling back down into it. And so the Yetzer Hara puts into us feelings, strong feelings of doubt, feelings of insecurity, feelings of despair, of hopelessness, that we can't achieve it. Let's forget about tshuva is not attainable. It's something you can't do, because I'm stronger than you. And I've shown you so many times that as hard as you tried, I've managed to knock you down. This is a serious dilemma. And many times if we think about doing tshuva, all we need to is have this thought and forget about it. We say, it doesn't pay. Why it's not worth it to put so much energy in trying to make a change in my life if I know that in the end I will not be able to prevail. So for that, that's one of the arguments of the Yetzer Hara, preventing the person from attempting to do tshuva. So David HaMelech tells us, don't worry. Hashem oiri v'yishi. God is my light and God is my salvation. True, you yourself, we ourselves are living in darkness. We're living in confusion. Not everything is black and white. Some things are gray, and sometimes because of our own subjectivity, we convince ourselves that negative and bad things are really good. But true, indeed, on our own, we don't have the power to always know right from wrong. But Hashem Oiri, Hashem is my light. Hashem is my illumination. And if we access God's light, then we are assured that we will know what is the right thing, what we need to do. On our own, we can't. But to access what we call Siyata Deshmaya, the help of God. And the help of God comes when we recognize that we need His help. See, if we think that we have the wisdom, we have the knowledge, and we are so smart, and we can handle our Yetzer Hara on our own, then forget about it. But if we have the humility and the understanding to understand that, no, that I can't on my own, but Hashem Oiri, God, please, you assist me, and you are my light. And if we try hard, God will assist us, and we reach for Him, He will be our light, and He will illuminate our darkness. And He will make us, or show us the right path, either by giving us the right intrinsic feelings within ourselves to know what is the good that we need to be pursuing, or by helping us find a good teacher, by helping us find the right teacher, the right counselor, the right guide in our life to guide us in the right path. So that's the answer to the first dilemma that we have. The aspect of darkness, of confusion that we don't know. Hashem Oiri, you're my light, and therefore I don't have to fear. I know I'll be able to make the right choices. With your assistance, I will follow the right path. In regards to the second problem, that I don't know if I'm able to, and I know that I don't have the strength to overcome these deep, powerful unholiness that's within my soul. I don't know if I have the ability to control my temper. I don't know if I have the ability. Not just I don't know. I know I don't have the ability. I can't, because I promised so many times that I would control my temper or control my greed or control my lusts and my appetites and unholy cravings and desires. So I'm scared. I don't know. True, I don't know. But God is Hashem Oiri V'Yishi. God is my salvation. Yishi means He saves us. He stands. He will give the person the assistance that the person needs to overcome. True, on our own, we can't. The Talmud tells us in Masechtas Kedushin that Yitzre Shel Adam is Gaber Olav Kol Yoyim. The Yetzahara of the person strengthens itself upon the person every single day. And Ilu Mala HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizre Loi. Without divine assistance, if God would not stand to help us, Eina Yachal Loi, we would not be able to deal with our Yetzahara. Because the Yetzahara keeps on coming back. Even if you've beaten your inclination one time, it comes back the next day. So he's back in the boxing ring for round two. And then round three, he's relentless. He does not stop throughout an entire life. But we need divine assistance. And God will assist us, and Hashem will stand, as it says, Ki yamoid liyamin ev yoin lo hishia mishoifte nafshoi, that God stands to the right side of a poor man. The poor man is each and every one of us. The right side is our good inclination, the Yetzer Tov that's on the right side. God stands to the right side to invigorate and to empower it to be able to save him mishoftei nafsho, from the judges of his soul. And as it says in the Talmud, that the wicked people are judged by their evil inclination. Rishayim Yetzahara shoftam. The Yetzahara is their judge. So God stands to the assistance of our neshama. God stands to the assistance of our good inclination to be able to overpower the negativity of the other side. So without Hashem's help, true, we stand no chance. But with Hashem's help, Hashem Oiri, Hashem being our light, giving us clarity, giving us understanding of right and wrong. The Yishi, God assists us to be able to overcome the addictions, to be able to overcome past habits, so that we don't have to be bogged down with the baggage of our past, with that which is pulling us back into the abyss of darkness. So we have the strength to be able to make a change. However, even if a person understands that, and we've already resolved that Hashem Oiri V'Yishi, and therefore Mimi Ira, I don't have to be afraid. I know and I have the confidence that we will be able to set myself on the right path. That's as much as we're looking at the future. We're looking about repairing, starting new, and doing what's right. But here is another dilemma, and that is where the Yetzirah comes and shows us and reminds us of our past and reminds us of our sins. And the Yetzirah said, good, okay, good. Tomorrow you'll be better. Tomorrow you'll do what's right. That's good. That's good for most people. Because most people, even if they've done sins, they've done little sins. So they said a little Lashon Hara, a little gossip. They've said a little lie, a little dishonesty. They've done a little this and a little bit of that. But you're different. You have wrecked your soul so bad. You have caused such a mess. You have sinned with such irreparable sins. You have done such terrible things. And for you, there is no hope. For you, there is no hope. Take a look. Take a look in the books. Go look in the Zohar, look in this book, and look in that book, in Jewish mysticism, in the books of Musar, and so forth. There are just certain sins that are just too big. If you do one of those, then forget about it. And therefore, you're doomed. You're out. There's no way that you can do tshuva. And especially if we know something about the mystical elements of our relationship with God, and that is that our soul enjoys a relationship with Hashem and it receives its vitality and its life from God through the mitzvahs that we do. The mitzvahs are like wires that connect our soul to God. 613 mitzvahs, 613 strands, 613 wires in which we are wired up with God. Every mitzvah we do, we strengthen our connection to God. Every sin that we do causes a disconnect, causes a severance. So there are certain sins which cause a small severance, and then there are certain sins that cause a very big severance from God. For example, if a person violates one of the commandments that carries the punishment of death, or kares, excision, which means complete severance of the soul, So then what can I do? I mean, I know, a person says, I know I've done a sin like that. I've done many times, done many sins which have completely cut my neshama off from God. There's no hope for someone who has sinned with the sin of kares. I'm a goner. I'm finished. It's like, you know, when you have a computer and you have a lot of cables, all kinds of wiring that connect all the devices of the computer. So if you snip one of the cables, so it could be, it's not that it's you snipped one of the wires and it's the wire connecting the speakers. Okay, so your computer is still going to function. You just won't have any sound because you snipped at the speakers. If you snipped another wire, it could be you're snipping the mouse. Okay, that's going to make the computer quite dysfunctional, but it's still a computer. But then there is snipping the wire and you've snipped the main power supply. Then you're done. And the same is in our relationship with God. There are certain sins that are small, small disconnects, and there are certain things that are relating to the very root. These are the main arteries of the soul. And if a person snips those wires, this is a serious disconnect from God. And so the person says, the amount of abuse, the amount of battering that I battered my soul, that my soul can't be repaired anymore. My soul needs to be resurrected. And, you know, resurrection is going to happen in Mashiach's days. But now I can't, I'm hopeless. I'm helpless. So even if I can assure that my behavior will be good in the future, but my past, there is so much damage that has been done in my past that it's irreparable. And that is the Yetzirah's tactic in which he's going to bring to the person to try to prevent the person from doing tshuva. The answer to that, and that is why over here King David is using the words ephod. Ephod means dread. In the beginning of the verse he speaks about, he uses the term mimi ira, who should I fear? Now he says mimi ephod, who should I dread? The difference of fear and dread is, Rashi says in the end of Parshas Ekev, that fear, you fear something that is a threatening thing, something that is frightening, but it's at a distance, it brings fear. But if that dangerous element is close, that's when it causes dread. So we all live in Los Angeles, and we have in the back of our mind that we're in earthquake country. So sometimes we're wondering, did I bolt the furniture in my bedroom well to the wall, or is there anything that can fall down on me, God forbid? So that's a fear. It's a fear of a possibility that could happen. What's a dread? A dread is when you hear the rumbling sound, and you wake up in the middle of the night and you're buying this, when you hear shattering glass. Ooh, that's a dread. So that's the difference between fear and dread. So in regards to future, when a person is looking at their future, and they haven't sinned yet, but they're looking about their ability to be able to avoid sinning and doing what's right, for that there is an era, there is a fear. Because it's not right now, it's not immediate. But in regards to my sins, what I've done already, that's ephod. That is a matter of dread. I don't know what to do with myself because of the difficult situation or the devastating situation that I find myself in. Now, because of the sins that I've done already, that's the pachad, that's the dread of the soul. The answer to that, King David tells us, David HaMelech says, Hashem mo'o yischayai, Hashem is the strength of my life, and therefore, in me ephod, I don't have to have any dread, any fear. Why don't we have to dread even the sins, even the worst of sins? And that is because our relationship with God is on two dimensions. The Jewish people enjoy a connection to Hashem on two levels. There is a revealed external relationship, and there's an internal essential connection. The revealed external relationship is the relationship with Hashem that our soul forges with God when the neshama comes down into the body. The soul that is vested in the body gains a connection to God through the Torah and the mitzvahs. The Torah is the divine wisdom, the mitzvahs are the divine will. The more we connect ourselves, the more we study Torah, the more we fill ourselves with God, with godliness, with godly light, with godly understanding, with godly wisdom, the more we do a mitzvah, we connect to Hashem. So the manner of our connection. So our connection is enhanced the more mitzvahs we do. God forbid we sin, we're disconnecting from God. That's the external, outer dimension of our relationship, the revealed part of our. We shouldn't call it external because that would seem to mean very secondary. When we say external, we mean it's compared to a deeper element that's considered external, but it's very, very serious, that relationship. A relationship that is dependent on Torah and mitzvahs. It can be enhanced through the good deeds we do, and it can be destroyed as a result of negative things that we do. But then there is a deeper bond that every single Jew has with God, and that is the intrinsic essential bond of the essence of the soul with the essence of God. That connection is independent and unrelated to behavior. That can't be enhanced with all the good we do, and it can't be diminished, and it can't be destroyed with all the bad we do. Because it's connected to the root of the soul, the part of the soul that is not even vested in the body. And therefore is not participating in anything that we're doing. Whether with the good that we're doing or the bad that we're doing. This is the part of the neshama that's chavuka dvuka bach, the part of the neshama that is attached, united with, and one with God, and is in a state, and it's inseparable. It can never be severed. And therefore, even when the Torah prescribes kares, even when the Torah speaks of disconnect, the cutting of the neshama, it's only referring to the extension of the soul that comes down into the body. The part of the neshama that vests itself in the body connects to God through these 613 strands, and therefore, if there are certain sins, they're disconnected completely. However, the soul root, the essence of each and every one of us, as it is one with Hashem, that cannot be affected by anything. It remains intact forever and ever. And that's why the sages say, Yisrael, that a Jewish person, afal pi shechata, even if he sinned, Yisrael, who is still a Jew. What does it mean, he's still a Jew? The very definition of a Jew means connected to God, attached to Hashem. And so what we mean is even when he's sinning, he's still a Jew means he's still connected. Because the disconnect is only taking place in the outer dimension of his existence, the outer dimension of his being, his or her being, not in the inner dimension, at the core of the relationship. Over there, the connection is absolute, and it's not dependent. It's not that, God forbid, that over there, sin doesn't matter. Sin is not important. It's because that part of the person is not vested in the body and is not engaging, it's not involved in the sin. The sin is opposite of God's will. If it's opposite of God's will, it's a disconnect. You can't be connected if you're violating His will. So it's a disconnect. But that part of the neshama doesn't participate in the sin. Because it's not... See, when a person is doing something negative or doing anything with his body, besides your body doing it, you're also doing it with... The body couldn't do anything without the soul. So it's the vitalizing soul, the animal soul that animates the body and enables the person to move and do whatever the person is doing. But it's not only the soul, it's not only the animal soul, it's also the godly soul. Because these two souls, the godly soul is completely invested and enmeshed in the godly soul, in the animal soul, in the vitalizing soul. So every activity that a person does, there is some participation of his neshama. So the neshama is involved in the sin, and therefore it gets disconnected from God. But it's only the lower part of the neshama, that which comes into the body, not the inner, higher part of the soul. That is unchangeable, cannot be affected. Now a person should never say, well, then really what difference does it make? If the true me and the inner me will always be connected no matter what difference does it make if I study Torah, do mitzvah? So the answer is simple, it's two things. First of all, that essence of your soul has nothing to do with your mission. The mission for what God created you is connected to the part of your neshama that comes down in the body. And therefore, the essential bond is not your accomplishment. God sent us into this world to accomplish something. And our mission is to learn Torah and do mitzvahs and to bring holiness and spiritual energy and godly light into the world through the mitzvahs that we do. And the only way we impact the creation and make the world a better place is through the Torah and the mitzvahs that we do. So that's number one. So this just having this essence of a connection to God doesn't do anything in terms of our mission for what Hashem has created us in this world for. That's number one. Number two, to think that it's okay if I get severed from God, my outer soul, as long as my inner soul remains forever connected. It's the outer soul, that's the soul, that's the part of you that you know. That's the part that we're conscious of. That's the part that we relate to. That's the part of us that we love. We love ourselves. We love it's what we're conscious of. It's the inner, deeper essence of our soul as it is rooted in the essence of God. True, of course, it's the inner, higher you. But that's not the you as you know yourself. So it would be utterly ridiculous and insane to say, what difference does it make if I completely disconnect as long as my core, my root essence, the nucleus of my soul remains connected? So of course, it is. We try and we have to do whatever we can to manifest our essential and our connection with God in our external life, to involve our external part of our soul, to involve our body, to engage every element in our life, to bring all that into the relationship, to bring that into the eternity and to the immortality of being one with God that is going to be with the soul, where the person is going to enjoy life forever and ever. That can only be if you connect your body to God and if you connect the lower external part of the neshama to Hashem. But the good thing to know is that even if there has been a disconnect on the outer level, there is a place where we can always connect to repair. Even if there is severance, there is never a complete severance. So there is a person can always jumpstart his soul. The person can always bring back life or even resurrect himself, because you can retrace, you can dig into yourself and connect to your essence, the place where there has never been a disconnect, and from there rejuvenate your entire existence, open up the flow of life to flow again into the body, and to repair even those limbs and organs of the soul that might have been damaged through as a result of sin. To understand this better, we find something really interesting by Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu was seeking forgiveness from God for the sin of the golden calf. So we know Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven three times for 40 days. The first time was before the sin. The second time was when God was very upset at the Jewish people. And then the third time begins today. On the Rosh Chodesh El, Moshe ascended a mountain and he was there for 40 days. And it was in these 40 days that he elicited God's compassion and forgiveness, and he restored the relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem. So one of the things you find that there's such love in the verses in Parshas Kisisa, we see such a deep and affection that God has to Moshe and to the Jewish people when they are doing tshuva. So one of the things that Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu is, Moshe says to God, Hareinu nos kvadecha, please show me your glory, show me your honor. And God says, no one can see me and live. He says, but what I will do is I will put you benikras hatsur. I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock. And then I'm going to pass over the cleft. I'm going to put my hand, the sakoisi as kapi, I'm going to protect you by putting my palm over the crack, over that cave where you're going to be in. I'm going to be blocking my honor. And when I pass, I'm going to remove my palm. V'ra'isa sachoira, you're going to see my back, you're not going to see my front. So we're not going to discuss tonight the meaning of this whole, of what was going on over here, but just one little point. Why was Hashem saying to Moshe, I'm putting you benikras hatsur, I'm putting you in the cleft or the crack of the rock? What is the significance of the nikras hatsur? Why was it at this time that Hashem put Moshe Rabbeinu into the cave, into the crack of the rock? See, the word tsur has two meanings to it. Tsur means root, source, as is a verse that says, habitu el tsur machtzavtem. Look at the source from where you've been excavated. Tsur, the rock, the root from where you come from, the source of your soul, is called tsur. Another meaning to the word tsur, tsur also means a very hard rock. Ha'hoifchi, we said today in Hallel, ha'hoifchi ha'tsur, Hashem took a hard rock and he turned it over, l'mayne mayim, to a spring of water. Tsur chalamish. Now, tsur, it means a hard rock, but a rock that produces fire, a flintstone, that if you bang it, it will produce fire. That's the meaning of a tsur. When we look at fire, there's two types of fire. There is a regular flame, a regular fire, a manifest, an open, an ordinary fire. And then there is a hidden fire, a concealed fire. The fire that is inside a stone. A fire that's inside the tsur. The difference between the two, of course, is that an ordinary fire is out in the open, and the fire in the stone is concealed and it's hidden. It's a potential fire. It's there. Obviously, if it's produced on the outside, it must be within the chemistry of the stone. It must have some flammable element to it, some element of fire to it. It's just that it's concealed. It's in the root, and it's not open. So that's, of course, one difference. But then there's another two differences between a ordinary fire and the stone. See, a regular fire, in order for it to burn, needs fuel. It needs the right substances to facilitate the fire, to keep the fire burning. So you have to put whether it's oil and a wick or firewood, these are all things that enable the flame, enable the fire to continue. And as soon as the fuel runs out, as soon as the wood burns out or the oil is gone, then poof, the fire is gone, it's extinguished immediately. Okay, that's one element that the fire needs. Another element is you have to guard and protect the fire from things that could extinguish it. So water is the arch enemy of the fire. So if you're going to pour water, if water is going to come into contact with the fire, it will extinguish the fire. So you have to avoid the water. If you want to keep the fire, you have to avoid that water. It shouldn't come into contact with water. Or if you'll dump sand on it or earth, it's going to stop the fire. So in order to keep a fire going, it's two things. You need those elements that enhance the fire, that produce the fire, enable the fire to continue, and you have to protect it from those elements that are antithetical to the fire. When we're looking at, however, at the fire that's inside the stone, inside the flintstone, over there, it doesn't need anything to continue to help that fire, to maintain the fire. The fire that's within the stone is there today, it will be there tomorrow, and will be there in 100, and in 1,000, and in 10,000 years. You don't have to put anything, you don't have to add any kerosene, you don't have to inject any oil, anything into it. The fire is there, and it's there forever and ever. It's inherently there, essentially there. It's number one. Number two, nothing can ever extinguish that fire. The stone can sit in a river, in a freezing river, few feet in deep in the water for hundreds, thousands of years. And the stone is just as potent. It's just as powerful. The fire is there. All it needs is a good bang, and it's going to release, and the fire is going to come out. Even after the stone has been submerged in the water for hundreds and hundreds of years. And that reflects our relationship with God. God is called a fire. Ki Hashem Elokecha, the prophets, the Torah, compares God to a fire. Ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Oichlahu. God, your God, He is a consuming fire. And that's why we have many times that holiness is related to fire. We have sages, for instance, that when they study Torah with such holiness, such a great kedusha upon them, that any bird that flew over their head got burnt from the fire. And we couldn't see the fire, but there was a fire because of the godliness that they have drawn down upon themselves. There's other references in the Zohar and in the Gemara of holy tzaddikim that had, when they studied, they had a ring of fire surrounding them. Truth is, every person has a fire upon his head. As it says, the verse, there's a pasuk that says, "V'shemen al roishcha al yechzar." You have to always keep oil on your head, which the Zohar interprets to mean that a person should always maintain, you have to always continue do mitzvahs, because there's a flame, the Shekhinah resides, the candle, the flame that is upon every single person, on our heads. And we have to keep, we do mitzvahs, that provides the oil to keep the Shekhinah, to keep God upon our heads. So that's the revealed fire. It's a fire, it's the holiness that we draw down upon ourselves through the positive deeds that we do. Just like a fire needs fuel, so too the fuel in which we keep divinity, we keep the Shekhinah residing upon us, is through the mitzvahs that we do. Every good deed, every mitzvah, time we study Torah, this is all keeping, enabling the fire to continue. Then there are things that can extinguish that fire. A sin puts out the fire. There's a pasuk that says, Ner Hashayim, I think, Yaducha, which means the flame of the wicked is extinguished. Because as the aspect of a sin puts out that fire. The fire of divinity, the expressed fire, the outer fire gets put out. Because this is a fire, this is a holiness that is created through our actions. The good connects us to God, and the bad separates us from Hashem. But then there is another dimension of the neshama. There is the inner part of the soul. There is the tzur of the neshama, tzur Yisrael, the rock, the inner core of the neshama, the essence of the soul. Over there, its connection to God is essential. It's like the stone that has the fire. And that fire can never be diminished, and it can't be enhanced. It's there. It can be revealed by banging in it, or it can be concealed. But the fire is always there in that stone. And it doesn't need any fuel, and it cannot be extinguished. It can't be diminished. All the waters in the world, all the sins, even if a person is submerged in sin, even if a person marinated in sin all his life, like King David says, the sin has covered my head. I feel completely trapped in all sides. That affects the outer fire. It does not affect the pilot of the soul. The inner core root essence of attachment to Hashem can never be disconnected because it's just absolute. That's our tzur. However, just because it's there, we need to reveal it. We need to reveal the tzur. We need to reveal that essence. How do we reveal that essence? How does it come out? Tshuva, the repentance, the return to God is an indication. Tshuva can repair our sin because tshuva reaches into the core of our neshama, drawing forth the place that has never been damaged, and from there revitalizing us. Tshuva is the absolute demonstration of this part of our soul. You see, if our connection to God is dependent on our mitzvahs that we do and on the actions that we do, so if a person sins, what is the person demonstrating? What has the person said if he sins? He's saying, he's making a statement. He's saying, God, I don't care about your will. I don't care about your will. I know you don't want me to eat that, but I now am very hungry. I like that very much, and I'm going to have that sandwich even if it's against your will. I know, you know, you don't approve of me doing so and so on Shabbos, but you know, my opportunity to make money is more important, therefore I'm going to do. So I'm disregarding God. I'm disregarding the commandment. So the person is clearly saying, God, I don't care about you. So if the person doesn't care, if it's not important, then why after they sin do they feel regret? Why afterwards do we experience what we call Jewish guilt? Why do we feel, why do we feel so uncomfortable? If you don't care, if you already said to God, you know what, you're not important to my life. I really don't. I don't care about you. You know what? You go, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. Me and you have nothing to do with each other. I have my life. If we've already said that, why do we keep on going back? Why do we keep on saying sorry? Why does it keep on coming? Why does it keep on nagging? What is that? Where is that coming from? So the answer is, it's coming from the place of the neshama that doesn't get disconnected. There's an outer part of you that engages in the sin. The inner part never gets disconnected. And from there, that dimension of the soul cannot bear the disconnect of the outer part of the soul. And that is why it is sending messages of tshuva. It is sending feelings of guilt. That's where the tshuva is. So tshuva is the indication of this unbreakable bond that the Jew has with God. When we evoke this tzur inside of our neshama, the root of our, and that's where and that's why tshuva also in Hebrew means, tshuva means to return, not to repent. Repent means to start something new. Returning meaning returning to yourself, returning to your essence. Discover you who you really are at your core. And our core, disconnecting from Hashem is unthinkable. Now when we do evoke this tzur within us, God also manifests himself. There, by Hashem too, there are two levels. There is the outer level of God, which means, the outer level of God means God as he chooses to establish a relationship with his creation. And that is by means of the rules of Torah and mitzvahs. The mitzvahs are the divine will. So the mitzvahs are an expression of God's desire, the desire that he has. This is his things that are meaningful to him. And when we do these things, we get a connection to him. But that is, and mitzvahs come from a very, very high place. We know that there are 613 mitzvahs, 7 rabbinic commandments. Together they make 620. 620 is the numeric value of Keser, crown. Because the mitzvahs originate in the divine crown, in the supernal crown, higher than all the attributes. Because the mitzvahs are associated with the Ein Sof, with the infinite one. How much does God want a mitzvah? Endlessly, infinitely. That's because it's connected to the very infinite dimension, higher, higher. But as we know, and as much as we know that desire by a person is the deepest power in the soul, is desire. It overpowers all of our other powers, all of our other abilities. The strongest thing is desire. However, desire is still a manifestation of the person. It's not the person himself. What I want, but then there is the very I. The very I that's deeper than my desire. Mitzvahs are associated with the ratzon of Hashem, the will of God. Tshuva reaches the Baal HaRatzon, the owner of the will, the emanator of the will from where the will comes from, and therefore the one who is not restricted by the will, who is not limited by the will. When a Yid does tshuva, since the tshuva comes from our essence, the tshuva elicits, touches the divine essence higher than God's will. What's there in the divine essence? Who is important in the divine essence? One thing that's important in the divine essence, and that is the Jewish people. There's nothing else. Only the Jewish, only the soul, only the core of the neshama is rooted in the divine essence of Hashem. Higher than even His will in Torah. That's why it says, the thought of Hashem, of the Jewish people, is He came before the thought of the Torah. Machshavton shel Yisrael. The thought of the Jew is even higher than the Torah. When we reveal our core, our essence, when we cry out to God to give us another chance, to open up a path, to enable us to reconnect to Him, what that does is that evokes God's essence. And from there, Hashem, that's where tshuva comes from. The ability to repair the damage in the will, because we're touching the place from where the will comes from, the source of the will. That's the power of tshuva, the power of repentance. And that's what Hashem was showing Moshe Rabbeinu. When the Jewish people just repented and did tshuva for the sin of the eagle, for the sin of the golden calf, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, let me show you what our relationship is all about. Look what they have done. I'm taking you to the crack of the rock. Their tshuva, emanating from their essence, cracked the rock open to the very inside. Let me show you what's inside the tzur, what's inside the flintstone. What's inside the rock is a deep inner connection that can never be severed. This is my tzur, the inner core of God and the inner core of the Jew, where they are inseparable. This was exposed as a result of the tshuva of the Jewish people. That is why He took him, benikras atzur, as we said before, atzur means two things. It means your root, the source. It also means the stone. Because the root of the soul is in a state of that kind of relationship with God, like the stone is related to the fire, with an absolute oneness that can never be disconnected. And that is the meaning of what King David tells us over here. Hashem mo'oiz chayai. God, you are the strength of my life. Therefore, mimi efchad, I don't have to be afraid even of past sins. Even if I've done the worst. Even if all the books say to me, forget about it, you are unrepairable, you can never do tshuva. Even if it says it in every single one, every rabbi, every person in the world told you, forget about it, you're doomed forever. Mimi efchad, I don't have who to be afraid. Why? Because mo'ezchai, you're the strength of my life. What do we mean by that? Life is Torah mitzvahs. Ki heim chayenu v'orech yomenu. God is kihem chayenu, you are my life. V'orech yomenu, in the length of our days, through the mitzvahs, that brings life. It brings life, and every mitzvah enhances our life. But that's life. But then there is something called mo'oiz chayai, the strength of life, the mokar hachayim, the root of where life comes from, not life. Life is Torah and mitzvahs. But there is the source of life, from where Torah comes from where the mitzvahs come from. And that is the Hashem's very essence. And because Hashem, because Mo'iz Chayai, because you're the root of my life, that's why, Mimi Efchad, I don't have the dread either of the past sins that I've had. And that is why also it repeats God's name twice in this verse. Hashem, Oiri V'yishi, Hashem Mo'iz Chayai. Why does it have to repeat God's name twice? Hashem, it's the same God. Should have said, Hashem, Oiri V'yishi, you're my light, you're my salvation. Mo'iz Chayai, you're the strength of my life. Why does it say God's name twice? And the answer is because the sages tell us that in the divine 13 attributes of mercy, it mentions the tetragrammaton, God's name, twice. Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun. And the sages ask, why does it repeat God's name twice? So they say the first time is the divine Hashem's mercy before we sin. Kan lifnei hachet, Kan la'achar echet. The second Hashem is after sin. What does it mean, God's mercy? Simply it means God's mercy is available to us before we sin. God's mercy is available to us after we sin. Simply, it's the same mercy, but His mercy is endless. But now we understand it's two dimensions in godliness. Yudke Vavke, the first Yudke Vavke, is referring to the divine manifestation that He manifests through Torah and mitzvahs. He shines to the world. The channels of life come to the world through Torah and mitzvahs. That's before a person sins. We enjoy a relationship with God through studying Torah, through doing mitzvahs all year long. That's the lower Yudke Vavke. That's God as He expresses Himself in His will. But then there is after a sin. After a sin, we're dealing with the, over there, Torah mitzvahs is not a channel anymore because this has been severed. This has been disconnected. Over here, we have to reach the name of Yudke Vavke, the higher name of God, which is rooted in the divine essence, much higher than the other one. That's the idea of the la'achar achet. After the sin is a far higher and deeper connection, a place where only the Jewish soul is one with God. From there, we can reconnect. So that's why the verse is saying, Hashem oiri v'yishi, God, You're my light and my salvation. It's the first name of God. The name of Hashem, a connection through Torah and mitzvahs. And the Gemara says, it means divine mercy before we sin. And the Mefarshim say, the Marsha and others ask the question, before we sin, why do we need divine mercy? Didn't sin yet. But based on what we said before, we understand. Because we need God's assistance even before we sin. Because without God's assistance, we have no power. We're powerless against the evil inclination. God has to help us. He has to give us the vision, the understanding of what's right and wrong. He has to also empower us to be able to overcome the intensity of the inclination, the intensity of the Yetzer Hara. So we need divine mercy. But that mercy is the mercy of Torah and mitzvahs. It's the mercy. God gave us a Torah. He gave us the mitzvahs. And He also assists us to be able to fulfill the Torah and be able to fulfill the mitzvahs. But if we've already wrecked that relationship, if we've already disconnected from that, so then that name of God isn't sufficient. Now we have to go much deeper. Hashem, we have to get to the higher name of God, to Hashem's very essence. Mo'is Chayai, the root from where life comes, deeper than life. And from there, regenerate life. And therefore, Mimi Efchad, we have no one to fear. May God help. We should all merit to have a very meaningful month, a rejuvenating month, a joyful month, because we do tshuva with joy, with confidence, with happiness, to know that Hashem will definitely assist us this year, definitely, even if we feel that maybe it didn't work so well in the past, because we have the absolute assurance that David HaMelech tells us, as an announcement that we said already two times today when we daven, Hashem Oiri, You're my light, You're my salvation, the strength of my life. There's no barriers between us and God. And Hashem just wants us to come close. May we all merit to have a complete tshuva and all to have a sweet and healthy end of the year and lead us into a very, very good, happy new year and a year of redemption, a year of Mashiach. And we should be ready this year, the year of Mashiach, and live with everlasting happiness. Okay.